Meantime, while we're waiting, good morning. My name is Jessica Adams Skinner, and I am actually presenting on a study that one of my colleagues spoke about yesterday. So if you were here around 12:30 yesterday in this very room, I'm sorry that, you know, I apologize that some of the information up front, you will be more or less hearing about the same thing. Bear with me, and later on, I promise you, I'll give you different information. So I am actually the evaluation consultant, and I thought it, you know, fitting that I disclose that. So my presentation goals for today is really to kind of provide a brief context or rationale for the qualitative study that we conducted at Bronx Aid Services and Montefiore Medical Center to present findings, looking particularly at five time points, you know, the period before coming out, the period after coming out, period before testing, HIV positive, the period after testing HIV positive, and then that period 3 months before we actually conducted the interview. I will briefly discuss some of the study limitations and sort of sum up implications and recommendations for future research. So what do we know about the Bronx? And this is something, you know, as I mentioned before, we heard yesterday. The Bronx is considered one of the poorest urban congressional districts in the United States. You have the lowest per capita income rate, the youngest male population, and the highest rates of adolescent substance abuse in New York City. And this is based on information from the CDC MMWR. I thought it fitting to mention that in 2001, CDC actually had published this nationwide study on HIV incidence among young MSM, where they actually compared seven major American cities and found seroprevalence rates among YMSM in the 15 to 22 age group to be significantly high in New York City as compared to the other states. And this is really, you know, more setting the stage for what's going on, particularly in the Bronx, which is part of the New York. So CDC also recognized at that time that young MSM of color are among the most severely HIV impacted populations throughout the US. What I find interesting is that, you know, mention is made that if the Bronx were a state, it would have a greater number of AIDS cases than 41 of its sister states, and I think that's really striking. Interestingly also is that 70% of the cumulative AIDS cases are among men, 92% of these men are African American or Latino, and over 50% of all cases among young men are attributed to male same-sex contact. In 2004, HRSA-SPINS, Health Resources Services Administration, the Special Projects of National Significance, actually put out an RFA. Bronx Aid Services actually applied for funding, and they were one of eight sites that received funding. Bronx Aid Services also partnered or collaborated with the AIDS Adolescent Program at Montefiore Medical Center. I think it's fitting to also say at this point that one of the goals of the HRSA-SPINS initiative was really to have all the eight funded sites conduct, be autonomous and conduct their own local evaluation. And that's basically what I'll be talking about. Now, at that time, there were two interesting things happening. One, in 2007, this is like some 3 years into the initiative, the New York City Department of Health and Mental Health put out a report that showed new diagnoses actually doubled among young MSM in the 13 to 19 age group. At the same time, Montefiore BS actually saw the conversion of five of their participants. And so we thought it fitting that, you know, we should look at the sexual partnering of these young MSM among other areas, particularly the role of family and programs efforts in supporting and affirming young MSM of color coming out experiences, their opinions and perceptions of services and what have you. That said, I will actually just be focusing on the sexual behaviors and partnering over time. And again, if you were here yesterday, my colleague who's actually with us, she spoke about resiliency. Now, resiliency was actually one of the emergent themes, whereas the sexual behavior and partnering, we actually set out, it was one of the a priori themes that we set out to look at. We did semi-structured interviews, with, of course, qualitative and quantitative components. And qualitatively and quantitatively, we explored sexual risk behavior, partnerships, and partnership characteristics. Qualitatively, we looked particularly at the coming out process, program and family support, as I mentioned earlier, family influence and partner selection and the opinions about the programs. The interviews were actually digitally recorded and transcribed. The quantitative piece was actually analyzed using SPSS 17, and qualitative data was analyzed using the QSR and Vivo 8 for our priority and emergent themes. Our coding system was developed and refined jointly by our team. Codes were entered in QSR, and analyses identify subteams within codes. So who are our participants? They had to be, of course, enrolled in the SPINS multi-site study for at least 6 months. In the age group 13 to 24, HIV positive, and have expressed interest in participating in the study. This is the study, I mean the local evaluation study. So what do our participants look like? So the mean age is actually 22. They were overwhelmingly African American and Latino. More than half had completed high school or higher. Most of them were unemployed, and many were either renting or living with parents or guardians. About 9 identify as gay, 4 as homosexual, 4 as bisexual, and 3 as other, and we have missing data on 1. This is what I mentioned earlier about the different time points, so I want to get into the data in the interest of time. So here are some of our findings. And again, I'm sort of really giving you a flavor for the sort of things that actually emerge. But believe me, I can sit here and preach for the entire day about, you know, some of the interesting findings we had. In the period prior to coming out, one of the things we found is that it became apparent that these young MSM were actually sort of discovering their sexuality or kind of experimenting during that period. And one of our participants, participant 20, indicated, I lost my virginity at age 13. That was with a girl at my father's girlfriend's house in my stepbrother's room. She was 13, I was 13. So it was like, basically like, okay, I'm having sex now. Like, wow, this feels good and everything. She's really pretty. Interestingly, now this same participant, 2 years later, actually had his first sexual debut with a 21-year-old male. And one of the things he reported is that throughout the process, he kept saying, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. Almost as if it's trying to deny his, you know, his feelings for, you know, a male individual. Another one recounted his sexual experience with a guy, and obviously in the quote, it's implied that he also may have tried to do the dating scene with girls. And so he was able to sort of set up the dynamic and tell, like, you know, the interesting difference. And so he said, at first I thought kissing a guy was nasty. Yeah, it just didn't seem right to me in my head. But we tried it, and it seemed really weird to me. But then we ended up giving each other head, and that was pretty cool. And I realized that I like it, and it was a lot more convenient than what I had to deal with going through with girls. Because it was like we went straight to the sexual part. We didn't have to sit here, and I didn't have to date her, you know, or do anything special. It was just very sexual. And I was like, the gay lifestyle is a lot more sexual than the straight lifestyle. So in that period after coming out, we got a sense that these individuals, these young MSM of color, there's this sort of implied sense of relief manifested through what some describe as sort of, you know, unleashing and exploding the sexual behaviors. And I put that in quotes because it's actually their words. So as participant 21 indicated, so I sat there and talked to him, my father. This is the one who disclosed his father. And I told him that, you know, I think I have attractions for male. I think a male could, you know, really attract me. And he was just telling me to make sure that that was the thing that I wanted to do. You know, I thought it was going to be worse than that, but that's what he told me. Why he told me that, that's when I went off the chain. I thought I was going to do everything I wanted to do now. It unleashed to just go out there and do whatever. And I went out there acting the fool. Another one also indicated the freedom he sort of felt after coming out and how it actually was a bit problematic for him. He indicated, it entailed more problems. I felt more freer. And then I felt like my family knows, they accept it, so why should I have to hide it? So it was just like, I would bring people to my house and I'd throw parties, and yeah, it just exploded. This individual also admitted that he had about 35 lifetime partners. Now, in the period prior to HIV diagnosis, young MSM of color actually talk about their vulnerability to STIs. And one talked about, at 16, I would do one-night stands. I didn't care too much about myself. I never really took precaution when it comes to using condoms and stuff like that. When I didn't know when I first started, let's just say it like this. When I first started, I didn't know nothing. I was in a shell. Another one talked about his interest in older guys who reportedly sort of exposed him to parties, fun, sex, and drugs. He said, and this is a period prior to being diagnosed HIV positive. Before I got it, I kept meeting a lot of older gentlemen, actually, a lot of older guys. It was like more of the experience end. I never really liked the whole kid thing, like they'd be running and yelling, I'm like, oh my God, shut up, please. It was, I needed the older crowd always. I don't know, the more I found, the more stuff they kept putting me onto. It was like, that's where the drugs had started. And it was just threesomes and just wow. It was like the older guys I was hanging around with were more like into parties. We would get like boys from in the building, like the straight boys from the building, bring them over and we'd all get twisted and just end up having it out. In the period post-HIV diagnosis, now we're getting a sense now that these participants are now sexually inhibited, and there's this slowing down of a sort of sex or kind of like a reduction of risk. And I guess this was the impetus for the title of my talk, where this individual said, I slowed down so much. And I was like having sex like every time after school. After school, I was like having sex like 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7, 8, like a day. And sometimes I could be on a chat line and somebody would call me. People would call me and say, come over, anything like that. They're going to have like 3 or 4 people, 5 people there. And I would have sex with all of them and something like that. Now, and after that, after I got positive, I slowed down. I used a condom at all times. Like before, I was using it half and half. Another one talked, you know, similarly about now he's protecting himself more. He's now using condoms and even rely on female condoms as a form of protection. Now, alcohol and substance abuse was also sort of implicated and emerged in some of the anecdotes from these young MSM. And I thought that this was an interesting one where this individual talked about engaging in alcohol and drug use sort of before they actually engage in sex. So he indicated, we had unprotected sex because I was intoxicated. I really actually didn't completely remember having sex with him, having intercourse with him. All I remember is us coming from a party. We left the party, we hopped on a cab, got to my house, we started drinking a little more, we went to my room. All I remember, he was sucking my dick, and I woke up the next morning in a bed by myself. I blacked out, yeah, definitely, because I don't remember what happened. All I know is that around 2 or 3 weeks later after that, I started getting really, really sick. Like really sick, like the fever, the back pains, the headache, the nausea, and everything. I felt like I had the flu. And sure enough, it got to the point I literally was in so much pain I couldn't walk. My back was so messed up. It was horrible. And that's when I tested for HIV, and I came out positive. I came up positive for herpes, for syphilis, for CMV. Alcohol and drug use was also, as I said before, here's another individual who's talking about being at his brother's friend's home and getting drunk and, you know, going from one partner to the next sort of thing. So in the period now, 3 months, when we interviewed them, the 3 months prior, I just wanted to give you a sense of the partner characteristics. At this point now, with the participants report, more than about half of them said they only have one partner, and then the other half said they had two or more. The mean total number of partners was 2.7. The mean age was 25.4. At least 2 reported partners in the 25 to 35 age group. 80% of young MSM disclosed that their HIV status to any of their partners, while 55 disclosed to all, 90 discussed condom use with any partner, and 75% discussed with all, and so on and so forth. So you see the statistics. It's clearly that these individuals are thinking more about their behavior and trying to reduce risk. Partners were typically met on the internet, clubs, parties, streets, train, and school. So the study limitations is obviously a very small sample of YMSM of color. Our findings cannot be generalized to other MSM populations. The time points that we explored, they are very fluid and can really lend itself to sort of inaccurate recall or recall bias by participants. Interviews were conducted by a trained BA level MSM and a doctoral level consultant, that would be me. And this may have compromised the quality of the data. So in terms of implications and recommendations, we think that providers, practitioners, and counselors really must be willing to address sexuality issues in that sort of pre-adolescent stage. Kind of like to explore circumstances that potentially have implications for future sexual behaviors. We must be willing to conduct comprehensive intake assessments that can really give us clues to the potential YMSM in working through their sexuality. We need to think conceptually about how best to address the critical time periods related to YMSM coming out and the testing for HIV. I think that's important. And the YMSM who report coming out to parents, we really need to assess for parents' reactions, because we saw in a few cases that favorable parental reactions sort of facilitated this sort of sexual liberation feeling and following that disclosure. And I think that this has so much implications for heightened sexual activity and risk behaviors. Why MSM programs also must assess sexual partnering and during this critical period to help understand how the sexual behaviors may be placing them at risk. And of course, looking at the partners, different type of partners, anonymous, long-term, what have you. And finally, the alcohol and substance abuse issue really needs to be addressed. So thank you, and I'm willing to answer any questions in the Q&A. And I want to acknowledge the BAS team, Mona Fio, the study participants, HRSA, SPINS, and CDC. Thank you.